I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Cindy?
Julian?
Hello.
Hi.
I'm going to pretend like I came up with this opener, but I didn't. Actually, I'm not going to pretend at all, actually. And if you guys don't like it, you can blame it on Cindy.
But if you love it, this is all Jill.
Right. Because I'm going to do something with it because I got one sentence. Ready? One setback is a setup for a comeback. And that's all I got. Could you do something with this? That's like handing me a tomato. Make me something to eat.
Make me a tomato salad.
Yeah, exactly. Which I'm about to. Now, in all transparency, I was like, actually, yeah, it's been a long time since we talked about failing as an entry point for learning. Is that what you meant, by the way?
It is.
Or did I just run with that?
Whichever works best for you.
Fair. Fair. And I have so many failures so often. Did I ever tell you my wine analogy? Well, it's not really an analogy. Yeah. Not really. It's just more just like a sad story, really. So my brother was helping me move some wine around in the house. And we were loading them into this little like refrigerator wine cooler thing. And there's a lot of bottles of wine, right? And I'm looking at each one and I was like, Greg, each one of these bottles represents a failure. And he was just like, what are you talking about? And I was like, this bottle is the time 100 list I never made. Oh, yeah. I told you this.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
We like, talked about this.
Yeah. This is the show that the second season pickup I never got. This is the Emmy I did not win. This is the, you know, and it's like I would buy these bottles thinking that like I would like celebrate. This would be the bottle that I would enjoy when I celebrated whatever success. And, you know, along the way, there were a lot of failures and a lot of setbacks.
A lot of bottles.
That did not get. Now I'm having sideways moments where we're like drinking them with chili dogs. That happened to be organic. Take it easy. Applegate Farms organic. And no, that's not a paid plug. Just defending myself for eating hot dogs. So, like, literally, I started doing, like, we were opening bottles of, like, Opus from 2007 with hot dogs in the house. Because I was like, we got to just seize the day. Carpe diem. I don't know why I'm hearkening back to all these movies from the 80s. It was a great movie. Dead Poets Society. I highly recommend you see it. Cut to... Right. Okay. Prolific today, Cindy. Prolific. So I thought about all those bottles and in the moment when you failed or you lost or whatever it might be, it didn't go the way you want. It feels like you're a loser. It really does. It feels like
you're losing and just like you can't get ahead of it and you can't catch a break. But the reality is that these moments, and I've said it a million times before, but they are entry points for learning. They are there to make you better, stronger, to perfect your craft, so that when the right opportunity, person, place, or thing presents itself in life, you've done the work. Yeah. You're ready. And it could be a failed relationship. Like, I was talking to a friend the other day, and she has like anger issues, and has blown so many relationships over like impulsive outbursts. Mm. And I was like, sweetheart. And it's like, I don't mean it, you know, but I don't mean it. I'm like, it doesn't matter whether you mean it or not. You say it and it's drama. It's like, yeah, but they just need to learn how to handle me. This is just my one flaw. I'm like, no, you need to work on this flaw. And then, you know, it's like you get into therapy, you work on the flaw, and then the person you're really meant to be with comes around, and then you're ready for that person. Because
yeah.
The guy she was dating wasn't really right for her to begin with. So all transparency, right? But you got to see it that way, but you have to be willing to put your ego aside and do the work. Take responsibility for it. Oh, yes, Jake. I see the hand. Your hand went up.
I don't know if I'm giving the credit to the right person, but it's like Thomas Edison or one of those inventors.
Oh, boy.
Something like, I haven't failed 100 times. I've found 100 ways to not do something, or 100 ways that something
that
doesn't
it didn't
work.
Yeah.
That it didn't work?
Yeah, something like that. It's something like
that's paraphrasing.
Oh, you failed 100 times there.
It's like
I'm 100 steps closer to making it work.
It's like, it's like 100 light bulbs I didn't invent to invent one or something. I mean,
something
I'm paraphrasing.
Like that. I don't know. But the point is you're not taking it like, oh, I'm a loser. This is a loss.
Right.
It's, okay. Add it to the, you know, to strengthen me, whatever.
Well, and it's also that didn't work, so I'm not doing anything like that again. If at first you don't succeed.
It can be so discouraging.
Of course.
But like we were talking about the app the other day, and we were looking at the top, this is so interesting, the top 200 downloads for like health and fitness, free. Not paid. Free apps. So you can download these apps for free, though. But they're not saying, like, when you go to top paid, none of the apps that are free to download are in top paid, right? So I was just like, I was so discouraged. I'm like, I don't understand. And the app's doing really well, but I'm like, how are we not in the top 200 in brands, like, with trainers you never heard of? Or,
right.
You know, like, not to sound like a jerk, but, like, you know, you've never, like, total no name. Like, how is that? And it's even above me. It's above Tone It Up. It's above Kaylee. It's like there's a bunch of those. And you're like, how is that pot? And I was like, I feel super discouraged. Like, what are we doing wrong? And then we came to learn that these are tech companies supporting fitness. So what that basically means is they've got like millions and millions of dollars. So they're about customer acquisition. So they call it ramp up versus profitability. So their ramp up is like, we want to get all the customers we can get, even if they're not conversions. They're not converting to paid customers because they have millions and millions and millions of dollars to spend behind downloading it. And then can they market you something else? You know what I mean? Or over time, can they convert you with like a variety of different offers to being a paid subscriber? But being on the top 200 free is great exposure, right? So then people can, and I'm not suggesting these companies did this, but people can also game that by hiring companies to do fake installs, kind of like bots.
God, it's nuts. It's like,
yeah, but we learned so much.
So did you feel less
discouraged? Well, what we decided, yeah, we got to the bottom of it, but it allows us to make decisions, right? So it's like, all right, do we talk to intelligent tech companies about financing the app? And, you know, the problem is people don't understand how expensive apps are.
Well, and then,
you know, they're very expensive to build, create, maintain, market. Like, it's an interesting game. So they're like, God, the amount of money, because we can't spend on advertising because we can't not be profitable. We're not a tech company. We don't have millions of dollars to fund this. We're self-funded. We run the thing ourselves. And so it's like an acquisition. You can spend like $2 to get a customer to download it. And that doesn't mean they're going to convert to be a customer to actually use my app, right? It just means they might just use it for the free workouts and the free 7-minute workout and never want to do anything else, which is fine. But you just spent $2 for them to do that.
Right.
And you don't know if they're going to convert. These companies can spend $10 to get that download. We don't have that kind of money to burn.
So then by going in and figuring this out,
you've
educated yourself.
Yes. And you can make the decision, right, of like, okay, do we go down that path, or do I feel like we actually are succeeding, and which we are, but when other people are crushing me, I'm like, why am I being crushed? I'm not to sound like a dick, but I'm Jillian Michaels.
But
like,
it's comparisons.
I mean, like, I am the biggest, I mean, I have 8 bestselling, it's comparisons, yeah. 8 bestselling books. I'm on every freaking talk show. I've been on like, how am I losing so badly? And it messed with my head. And now I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I was like, why am I losing so badly? Even though our app is super successful. We were voted top apps by Apple and Google in fitness. But why is it not? And there's all this stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't know. We're not a tech company. We're a fitness company.
That's the kind of thing where it's too bad when you apply for a job that you don't get, that you're not able to then request an interview, like a phone 5 minutes with HR
Can
you help me? Was I bad? Was it the interview? Was I nervous? Is it my resume? Do I need more? Where do I need more experience? Because that would really help.
I got that once. I didn't get a job called Flab to Fab, which was a weight loss show on either, I think, VH1. And they gave me the feedback because I thought for sure I was getting that job.
Huh.
And I used it, applied it when I went on the Biggest Loser audition and got that one.
See, that's amazing.
Yep.
That's a setback leading to a comeback.
Boom.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Soup or salad? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From your online start to your first 1 million orders, Shopify's there to help you grow. No matter what your product is, they can help you sell it everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify can help you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average than other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Jillian, all lowercase. Just go to shopify.com/Jillian now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Jillian.
Okay, who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized? Well, Prolon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science. Science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's 5-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours, and it was a game changer for me. So right now, Prolon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian.
So in the interest of May being Mental Health Month, we thought this would be a great time to have author and ABC News Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Jennifer Ashton on. And we're going to talk about her new book, Life After Suicide.
Doc.
Hi, guys.
How are you? I feel like I need to be transparent. Dr. Ashton and I have met throughout the years many times, and she's given me medical advice. I mean, she's one of the most incredible OBGYNs I've ever met. You guys know I'm fascinated by understanding hormones and how they affect your body and your weight and your longevity and your age. And I mean, I'll never forget you talking to me backstage about like metformin and micro dosing for the and like living longer. And I mean, I worship you and your tremendous knowledge in the space. I mean, and then you were just, you know, we were talking about how you went on to get your degree in nutrition, all this stuff. And that's why this book to some would be such a departure, because you again have so many letters after your name, MD being the two that we know you for predominantly. And then we have this book, Life After Suicide, Finding Courage, Comfort, and Community After Unthinkable Loss. And when I, because I just got the galley, when I was going through the book, it's like, this isn't just about, like, this is about unthinkable loss, period. Like, I personally haven't had anyone commit suicide, but loss, death, thank tragedy, God. I was like, Jesus, this is such a gift, such a tool. So I was wondering if you could first tell our audience why you wrote the book.
Well, I'll tell you guys something. It's my fourth book, but I hope and pray my most important one, but it's the only one I didn't want to write, ironically, because when the father of my children and my ex-husband, Rob, died by suicide in February of 2017, he was also a physician. We had 2 weeks prior, you guys, been in a courtroom finalizing our divorce, which, by the way, in the state of New Jersey, you have to go to court, but it was very amicable, evolved. We hugged each other at the end. We loved each other. We just weren't in love with each other anymore. And we were texting the day before Rob died.
Jesus
and
Christ.
It came out of the blue. He had no warning signs that, you know, he and I learned about in medical school at all.
Right.
And, you know, unlike you, and I pray this continues for you, Jillian, I had known 3 people close to me who had died by suicide. And I had felt like I had been kind of close enough to it, especially with my best girlfriend, whose sister had died by suicide 6 months before Rob, that I felt like I kind of understood the world. I didn't understand the world at all till it hit me and my children. And so when I, you know, as a someone who works for one of the world's largest media companies, ABC, and I'm on Good Morning America, you know, several times a week, I have a very public career.
Right.
And this made national news. And it was the last thing that I wanted to do was talk about it publicly, because my sole focus was helping my children heal and recover from this unthinkable tragedy. They were 17 and 18 years old at the time.
Jesus.
And I then, when I felt like they were starting to heal and recover, I just wanted to go back to doing what I do, which was, you know, be a healer, you know, and I just believe I was put on this planet to be a healer, which is why I went to medical school. And it was not until I had to talk about Kate Spade's suicide that Good Morning America asked me if I would share some of my personal experience with this. And when I did, you guys, the floodgates opened, and I heard from hundreds of people who said, I'm going through the same thing. Thank you for speaking for us. I know exactly what you're going through. And it was actually my daughter, Chloe, said to me, Mom, you have to use your voice. So many people are hurting. You have to address this issue.
And your expertise.
And it was, trust me when I tell you, and I don't know if this is true for you, Jillian, but I would so much rather be the one giving the help than getting the help. Mm-hmm. So it was really hard for me to open up about the worst time of my life and all of the vulnerability and imperfections that came along with that. But my goal of helping other people actually was very therapeutic for me too. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. It just really happened.
Deeply cathartic, I'm sure. Whenever I would imagine most people, when they go through tragedies, it comes out, either it's your art or your work or however it may be, because we have to bring a meaning to that loss. And that's exactly what you've done. It was like when Viktor Frankl wrote Man's Search for Meaning after coming out of a concentration camp. It was like, how can I make sense of this? I've got to give this a meaning and do my best to help other people with what I've been through. And I was looking at some statistics. Suicide is on the rise massively in the United States.
Yep.
Do you have a theory on this? Because like, and Giancarlo, we were going around and it was like, geez, like, oh, I've known people that have come in. Cindy, same. And to be fair, when you just said that to me, I'm so embarrassed. I don't know how I blocked this out. My childhood best friend from probably, I want to say 6 to 14, ended up killing herself at 17. And she was so disturbed and we had kind of lost touch in that period because I remember for years we all knew and there were the threats and I can't believe I blocked that out. I was like, Jesus, Jill, what is wrong with you?
So listen to this statistic. No, I mean, that's not,
I don't know how again, I blocked that out. It's been 30 years, but
maybe like protective, you know, maybe it was so painful for you that you, you know, wanted to kind of put it in its own little box.
I never talk about it. I never think about it. It's like, and people ask me sometimes, like, you really don't have any childhood friends? I'm like, well, I had two, and you know, one I lost touch with at this age, and one killed herself. And I can't believe I just told you I've never known anyone. I can't believe I just said that.
That's unbelievable.
That's not true. I don't know why. Anyway, I'm sorry. Please.
You just did a very nice tribute to her memory, which is a beautiful thing. But, you know, you talk about the statistics, and suicide is now the 10th leading cause of death in the United States.
How is that possible?
Suicide is the cause of death for more people than homicide, car accidents, and breast cancer combined.
Oh, my God.
Right? It's unbelievable.
That's insane.
So when you think about that, right, and then in 2017, the CDC statistics are that 47,000 Americans died by suicide. And for every one person who dies by suicide, now the estimates are that 135 people are directly affected or impacted by that suicide death. So do the math, you guys. This is millions of people, millions of people. And
1.3 million suicide attempts.
It's crazy, right? Right. So when I'll be honest with you, when I was approached by HarperCollins to write this book, and my first answer was, why would anyone care about my story? Like, this is happening to tens of thousands of people, you know, all the time. Why? What's different with mine? Who cares? And I think that the issue is, the second thing I said to HarperCollins, by the way, was, listen, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a mental health professional. I can't write a book on how to prevent suicide. And they said, no, that's not what we think people can be helped by necessarily. We want you to share your story of what it's like to live after someone you love dies by suicide. Yeah. Right. And that healing, as you said, you know, when you started, Jillian, is this is a different kind of grief after death by suicide. You know, death by suicide is different than death by car accident or cancer or, you know, homicide.
Of course.
But you're right. Like, you and I think, look at life like, what's the macro view and what's the micro view? And the macro view is that by some miracle and by a lot of help and support from other people, my children and I have really found a deeper purpose in life.
Yeah.
And the people I interview in the book have as well. And I think and pray that that can help so many other people who are at various stages of surviving the suicide death of a loved one and struggling to find that life after suicide as well.
There's so much in the book, though, that is applicable, or at least in my opinion, to kind of reconciling with all of those stages of grief, you know, because you do have, I mean, It's just, it's very, none of this is cut and dry, no matter the loss. I would imagine suicide is the most complicated loss you could face. For the obvious reasons.
I think so. And, you know, I think for me, and I know my children who are now, you know, 19 and 20, and they're just amazing, amazingly courageous, brave, kind, and sensitive people. We didn't want to make, you know, anger and resentment and bitterness at the world or at life a secondary tragedy to what happened to Rob.
How do you get through that? Because that's what I really want to ask you. Like, how do you transcend that? Because that would be, I mean, when I look at, I mean, anger is, it's, I mean, do you feel it? I don't know how I would overcome. I would be so like, how could you do this? How could you not talk to us? Yeah. How could you? And I imagine as a child, you'd feel like you didn't love me enough. Like I wasn't enough. Like in my mind, as I was looking at your book, I was just like, Jesus Christ, like flipping through it, thinking of everything I would feel and personally and how betrayed and how angry. And then, oh my God. And then was I guilty? Did I not say something? Should I have said something? Should I have seen the signs? Like I can't effing imagine.
Yeah.
What you must have felt.
Listen, yes to all those things. And it's in, and I talk about that in the book, right?
Yeah,
I talk about how, you know, I'm a doctor. Rob was a doctor. I lived with this man for 22 years. I, you know, he didn't have any of the classic warning signs. When we went through marriage counseling before we decided to get a divorce, our therapist asked both of us if we had ever thought of suicide, and he said, absolutely not. And, you know, and I think in terms of anger, you know, for me, and this is specific to my story, I had dealt with my anger to Rob kind of towards the end of our marriage.
Of course.
I had felt like he had pulled away from me and our relationship. And so I had to process a lot of that anger in the years, maybe let's say 5 or so years before his death. And so, you know, as I kind of described to some people, I felt like he had already pulled away from me and then he just pulled away from life. And so I felt a lot of anger to him at pulling away from me.
Of course.
I feel pain and sadness that he pulled away from life, not anger. And, you know, my daughter, who's, I mean, you know, as a mom, like our kids teach us, I think, more than we teach them, right? Like, if you
can put your ego aside.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Like they, and my daughter, right after Rob's death, said something to my mom that my mother repeated to me, which is, she said, you know, Dad made a choice and we have to respect his choice.
Oh, wow.
And it's just like we say to our kids, right? Like, you don't have to like what I say, but you do have to listen to it.
Right.
Because I'm the parent.
Wow.
Right. And she basically said that. Jesus. And that's how she feels. And that's how my son feels. And they, and my son's comment, which to me says it all, was, you know, Dad had a disease like cancer that killed him.
Yeah, he's right.
That's how he,
so
that's
smart.
How they
Jeez.
Look at it. So,
wow.
Yeah, they're unbelievable, right?
What, how so, is that
well,
possible?
You know, Dr. Ashton.
You know what, G? Hold that question for Dr. Ashton. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Fine.
Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
All right, everyone knows by now how much I love Skims underwear because I mention them a ton and I've been wearing them forever. I mean, I guess specifically a year and change. That's like forever in my life. If I can stick with something for longer than 30 days, it's forever. So this is big for me. And let me tell you, they are worth the hype, from the support they give to their amazing shape. And best of all, they're super comfortable. Whether it's the weightless scoop bra, the fits everybody plunge bra, the fits everybody t-shirt bra, I just get them in sand. You don't see them under anything at all. They're awesome. They're comfortable. I don't even realize I'm wearing them. They go with everything. So shop Skims bras at skims.com now, available in 62 sizes from 38 to 46H. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. So after you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Dr. Ashton, my sister's an ER doctor, and one of the things I talk to her about from time to time when she kind of tells me her cases during the day is anytime she's had a suicide come in where they've not been able to help them revive, she always tells the family they made a choice. And as difficult as that choice is, that's the life path that they chose. But I want to ask you a question because this is close to me because I'm a male in my mid-40s, and I've noticed that a lot of my just from my high school class, I've had 5 friends.
Wow.
No longer that are with us. So I'm just trying to understand these are, you know, guys with careers and wives and children and just like your husband. You know, what is it really? Because we had everything in common. We stayed in touch. And it's just like, how does that happen? How are there no clues? Like,
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right? And I think that, you know, as an MD who's not a psychiatrist, the way I look at that from a medical standpoint is kind of the same way if you were saying to me, any of you, you know, Jen, what do you say to the person who does all the right things? They don't smoke, they exercise, their weight is ideal, they eat perfectly clean diet, and they get cancer.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, it happens, right? Sometimes you can do all the right things and still have something bad happen, right? Those things lower your chances and they lower your risk, but it's never zero. And so what I think of when I hear your statistics, and I'm so sorry for your losses, Giancarlo. I mean,
thank you.
I think that now we're at a point, and Jillian, remind me how old your daughter is now.
She's actually turning 9 this week.
Isn't she like going to college?
She's actually, another show is she's going into puberty and she's 8. So like, if you'd come back, I'd love to know what fuck is going on. But we're staying on topic about the book now.
So I literally think that now, just like when we have kids that your daughter's age, and we say, like, okay, you know, don't get into the car with a stranger, don't take drugs, don't smoke cigarettes, you know, like all the stuff that parents say to their kids. I feel like we need to start talking about mental health, mental illness, and suicide in that conversation. I literally feel like it, just like you teach your daughter, okay, if there's an emergency, sweetie, you know what to do? 911.
Right.
And what's your name? And this is your address. I think we need to say, oh, here's the number, 1-800-273-TALK. That's the suicide prevention lifeline. I feel like everyone needs to know that number now, because someone can look like any of your friends, Giancarlo. They can look like my ex-husband. They can look like Kate Spade.
They can look like Anthony Bourdain.
Right.
I mean, what? Like, that? It makes no sense.
Risk, right?
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Right.
I mean, a guy with the world at his fingertips literally had everything. Yeah. Everything. A huge career. People loved him.
But I think the thing is, you know, I'm embarrassed to say that before Rob died by suicide, I did not know that much about suicide. And
why would you, Doc?
It had affected friends and one of my patients and, you know, not her, but her husband. And so, you know, it had been enough in my world, but I just, you know, I feel like, you know, we all do this, right? Like we say, I don't have to worry about that. It doesn't affect me. Well, it does. And now no longer okay to say, well, I don't really have to worry about suicide or surviving suicide because it won't happen to me, because the numbers that we just quoted speak otherwise.
Volumes, of course.
And so I read something that really, you know, changed the way I think about suicide, because when you think about it, right, it's such a scary, violent act that most of us want to stay alive for as long as possible. And someone who dies by suicide, you know, hurts themselves in such a profound, violent way that they die, right? That's the intention.
Right.
And it's not something that the non-suicidal mind can comprehend because it's an irrational act, right? By definition. But you know, my
survival mechanism. We're designed to do the opposite.
Exactly. That's right. Exactly. And so when my children and I were in our therapist's office less than 24 hours after Rob's death, I don't know if she said this that day because we were all in shock, so I actually don't remember what she said that day, but she said something in those immediate days and weeks after that I will never forget, which is that a non-suicidal mind, when things are at their worst, because we all go through our low points in life. Life is not supposed to be without pain, right? Especially if you believe in Buddhist or Zen kind of, you know, theories.
Of course.
It's about
it's how you grow,
process
right.
suffering, right? And learning through and evolving through it. But she said the non-suicidal person, when things are at their lowest, will say on some level, even if it's subconsciously, this can't last forever. Things will get better. Or they try to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
And the suicidal mind says, tomorrow things will be 10,000 times worse. I have to get out now. And, you know, it's like the people that we saw jumping out of the Twin Towers because they knew the buildings were going to collapse. Like that. And when she said that to me, I thought, oh my God. Like, that is a terrifying, upsetting thing to even contemplate. And so the bottom line is, we don't know what someone's thinking. I think we all, in this world where everyone's life is, you know, increasingly more on the screen in front of them than the person in front of them, we need to, like, look at people and say, you know, are you okay? And actually listen to their answer. And if they go, well, you know, yeah, just life stuff, don't be like, oh, yeah, that's a bummer. Anyway, for tomorrow,
Dr. Ashton.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Dr. Ashton, you know what's really interesting? You touched on something that I have in trying to process the loss of some of my friends and the impact that it's had on their, you know, community, if you will. I've always struggled with, I feel it's an invasion of privacy to think about where were they 10 minutes before they committed their act in their mind.
Yeah.
And for some reason, every time I try to go there, I stop myself because I'd almost feel like they wouldn't want you to be thinking about that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I mean, well, you know, that, you know what that reminds me of, and it was a little bit of a, you know, kind of right turn from that, but you talk about privacy, and I've been asked a lot, you know, what was helpful to you, what wasn't helpful to you. And it, the answer that I give is that when people, you know, hear that someone has died by suicide, a lot of people will say, what happened? Right.
Yeah.
And that to me, like the subtext is, how'd they do it? You know, like you become like a voyeur, like, well, they want to hear the details as if it matters. Right. Like it literally doesn't matter. They're dead by suicide.
Yeah.
And what it reminded me of, and this is a bizarre, you know, parallel, but when I was doing my residency as an OBGYN, you know, we were trained on how to do rape kits and take care of victims of rape. And the first thing we learn, and this is literally the most important thing, is that when you talk to someone who's been the victim of a sexual assault, you do not need to, nor should you, ask them to recount what happened.
Fuck.
They don't need to relive those details for you.
God.
It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
So all you do is say, you know, was the person using a condom and what orifices were penetrated? That's it. You don't need to hear, well, and then what do you do? And then where are they, you know, you don't need that information. And just like with rape, you don't need that information when you're talking to someone about someone else who's died by suicide. Because as you're saying, Giancarlo, it's like, that's kind of their private life moment.
Yeah.
And it's private, and it does not matter to the people who are left alive.
Yeah, that's exactly how, that's what I tell myself when I'm like, you know what, leave it alone, and they just don't want you to know, you know?
Yeah.
I have to say,
exactly,
Dr. Ashton, this book is so truly profound, and there really is nothing, there's nothing like this in the world, and there's no one like you that could tell the story. In the way that you can, with the platform you have, being the woman that you are. And I would just simply say to everybody listening, if you have been affected by suicide, you must get the book. And of course, it's, if you haven't, though, which is really what I want to say, like, if you can say, well, no, I haven't, but there's so much in this book about dealing with grief and coping with loss and having conflicting feelings, that it's beautiful. It's beautifully written.
And
it moved me. And I haven't had a chance to, like, really, like, I was reading chapters and Cindy had highlighted passages for me. And I was just like, oh my God, like it moved me in the way that, like, that Viktor Frankl book moved me, Man's Search for Meaning, about transcending grief, transmuting it, and finding a purpose and finding a way to move on. And the book is called Life After Suicide, Finding Courage, Comfort, and Community After Unthinkable Loss. And it is on sale everywhere right now.
Jillian, I can't thank you guys enough for having the courage to talk about this topic. And it just means the world to me. And, you know, as what you guys do in trying to help so many people, I just pray and hope that this book helps people as well.
Oh, I have a feeling that this will save some lives on its own. I really, it's such an, it's so incredibly well written and just so needed to be said. And I can't thank you enough for sharing this, because I imagine that's got to be so painful. And when you're done with book press, if you would ever want to explain to me how an 8-year-old goes into puberty, I would also love that, because I can.
Anytime, girlfriend.
Thanks, Anytime. Doc. Okay. When you're back in the wheelhouse, like, yeah, what the fuck? So
I know, right?
Oh, my God. Dr. Ashton, thank you so much.
You're
truly
remarkable.
Thank
you so much. Sending you a big hug. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank
you. I'll be back at you. Thank you.
And we're going to put the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number in the show notes for this show.
Okay, guys, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you get it weekly. You don't even have to think about it.
on iTunes or Spotify or wherever else you're listening.